and all things are possible now that you're here.
Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we are so privileged, Lord, to be in your presence, to see the reality, Lord, of your word coming to pass in this hour, knowing that it's gone from word for thousands and thousands of years. It has been word, it has been a seed, but now we see the harvest of it, and we see the reality of your word coming to pass, and we are part of that great revelation, that great unfolding of yourself to us in this hour. And so, Lord, we ask that you would help us today as we study thy word, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we've been looking forward to this study. It'll probably take us the next 10, 12 weeks, but we're looking at the reality of the word. Now, I may, you'll preach in this end time scenes for maybe 9 of the 10 times, but we're going to take a sermon on the reality of the word, because as I sent out many, many quotes this morning to the brothers on the study, Brother Brown, just his whole purpose, he said, was to get you to see the reality of the living God in your midst. So with that in mind, we're going to take the study, number 100 in Satan's Eden, and it'll be the end time scenes, and I entitled it Tunnels Number 1. And, you know, preaching on tunnels is not really, normally it wouldn't be a great sermon, but when you see the predictions in the Bible of the tunnels and the caves and the underground that man is going to go to, and then you see it's happening, it's just a reality. So what I want in this little mini-series is to see the reality of the living God is among us. He's living among us, and we are what we're becoming to that place where I believe we're getting ready for the rapture. So this study then presents the end-time quotes from the sermon of William Branham in blue, and quotations from the scriptures in red concerning the oncoming judgments in the earth and the signs of the soon coming of Christ the second time. The reason I put together these studies is to build your faith in God, who is the great I Am. He's not the I Was. He's not just back in William Branham's day. He's not back in the days of the Apostle Paul either. I mean, he was, but he is the I Am. And that's what I want you to see, is that you can count on him to be present. You know, the parousia is not just a doctrine, it's a reality. I showed you that 84 of the signs and events of the parousia have already taken place. 79 of the 84 have taken place. We just have a change of the body, a gathering together of the elect, and the catching away, etc. Just a few things left for us, and then, of course, the great destruction, which we won't be here for it. So by showing his word is real and not just a seed, but in this hour it has become a reality, I am hoping you will be able to see all the things that the Son of Man came for sowing in this hour are no longer seeds, but the entire word has come to its completed form and is indeed in the harvest time. Not only is God harvesting a bride and, you know, getting ready a chaff for the burning, but God is also every word, seed, promise that he has given us in 2,000, or actually more than 2,000 years, has given us from the beginning that was in here, is now become a reality, is now come into manifestation, is now come into harvest. And so we should be rejoicing at the news, instead of the whole world is kind of grimacing at what news they hear. So anyway, they are looking for destruction. We are looking for getting out of here. That's the whole thing. All right. So I'm hoping that you will be able to see all the things that the Son of Man came sowing seeds. Now, remember, Brother Branham said, I came to sow the seeds. He said, but the fivefold ministry will bring it to manifestation. Now, you say, well, just a minute. Now, he was a prophet of God, yes. And he said to Brother Vail, it's expedient that they see it in the present tense, for if the church doesn't see it in the present tense, then they're lost. Well, that's true. And so God sends a prophet to manifest present tense. That is true. And so the beginning of the manifestation began with the prophet. But now many of you never saw the prophet and were not even, some of you were not even alive during that time. But I'm telling you that you are now alive in Christ at the time of the, people back then were alive too. But what I'm saying is at the end time, at the harvest, you are alive. So the harvest is meant for you. It's not meant for them. It's meant for you, okay? Now, Brother Branham said the following in a sermon from I Know My Redeemer Liveth. Now, we want to first to put in our minds that nothing can destroy us until the purpose of him who created us has been fulfilled. You see, remember, he said, not one bomb will strike this country until you are in the arms of Christ. So, all right, so nothing can destroy us. There can be nothing. We were created for a purpose. This church was built here for a purpose. This foundation wasn't dug, and the cornerstone wasn't laid, and the bricks wasn't laid to make the building and the roof, and the inside was not put here, just to see if it could be done. It was put here for a purpose, and for a purpose, rather. The house you live in was not placed there by chance, or someone simply wasted time. Your house was built for a purpose, to serve the purpose. So we're looking at the purpose of the Word. We're looking at the purpose of the seeds that were laid down in the Word, and that purpose is to be manifested. And that manifestation is to bring us into a reality of the I am that he is. Look, I cannot do what Brother Branham did. I don't have sign of Messiah to bring the reality to you, but I can, through the preaching of the word and a constant vigilance on that word, see what is happening today and bring it to your attention so that you can see also the reality of that word. Now, he says, and if you drove your car here this morning, that car wasn't built, just to see if it could be built. The man did not waste the materials. She was put here for a purpose, to serve a purpose. The clothes you wear weren't made just to see if someone could make something. It was for a purpose. The food you eat did not grow on earth just for seeing it growing. It was created to serve a purpose. And God didn't have to make a tree just to be a tree. He created a tree for a purpose. And God didn't make you and me just to see if he could do it. He created us for the purpose. That is why that is why there is a purpose for which we are all here. You are not all here just for there to be another human being. You are here because God created you for a purpose. You are not here just to eat the food that God has grown. You're not here just to live in a house that man has made or wear the clothes that somebody else made. You're here for a purpose. Now, that's true. All right, so we are here for the purpose of understanding the day and the hour in which we live. No matter how little you are, how big you are, how important you are, or how unimportant you are, you're here to serve the purpose. Just as my finger is here for a purpose, the nail is on my finger for a purpose, my eye and every part of the body is there to serve a purpose. And it wasn't put here just to see what it would look like when it would be put here, but it's been put here to serve the purpose, to serve its purpose for. And it was God's plan to do so. If we were put here for a purpose, there's nothing can destroy us until God's purpose is fulfilled. Nothing can harm us until the purpose for which God has placed us is here manifest. Just like my brother-in-law, David, who, first Lois, my wife had called Lois just to call her, and it just happened a few minutes after her husband had been killed, and she was not allowed to go touch the body. But anyway, they said, well, a trailer fell on him. Well, now further investigation, we don't know if he had a heart attack or what yet. They haven't finished that investigation. But they said he didn't feel a thing. Well, if he didn't feel a thing, then apparently it took him out. Or actually he was taken out by God before it happened. And I say that praise the Lord for that, because, that means that we will see him on the other side. He was a good man. He loves this, this word. And so I just know that he's a good man. Maybe, I won't even speak on his, you know, rapture status, because that's up to God. But some people have to go, and some people have to meet the ones. You see, Lois is by herself out there in Iowa, and she's a contributor to the church, and she's a very good woman. And but see, there has to be someone to appear on her doorstep and let her know the rapture is taking place. So, you know, I believe that there's a purpose behind everything that God is doing. Okay, no matter how much trouble we have, how much sorrow and pain we go through, which we are going through a lot right now, there's a reason for it all. There's a reason for it all. Okay. Because once you can see all the things spoken of in seed form, as long as thousands of years ago are now in their manifested form for the entire harvest of God's word. So as long as we can see it, it is no longer in word or seed form, but has manifested itself to a reality form. Remember, Brother Brown said, God said in the beginning, let there be light. After there was light, it was no longer a word, it was a reality. Okay, Brother Bram said, my whole purpose to preach to you is to bring the reality of the resurrected Christ among you. All right, so now he saw something. He walked in a reality. I mean, he didn't know when the angel of the Lord would pop in and pop out. You know, but he always, like Brother Vail said, his whiskers stood out on his face when he saw the angel of the Lord. And Brother Vail said, you know, did you see him? And he said, no, but I saw one who did. And Brother Bram said, it's that way every time he shows up. So, you know, he is going to show up one of these days. I hope that your whiskers don't, you women don't have to worry about that. But, you know, I hope that you men, you know, it doesn't, you know, you don't have the same reaction. I just hope that, like he said, when he comes this time, he said he'll be more of a relative than he was. So, so I know that we're in the appearing. And I know that we're in the shout, and which is part of the parousia. And, you know, people say the parousia is a false doctrine, but Jesus preached it, Paul preached it, Peter preached it, John and James preached it. So it's everywhere in the scriptures. And Paul said, if you don't preach what I'm preaching, well, then he said, you're cursed. So I just leave it at that. All right. But it is no longer a word then, in word form or seed form, but it has manifested itself to the reality form. This then includes all that we have read about the bride as well. We are now manifested sons of God. Now, you said, well, I thought we're supposed to jump over roofs and now this kind of stuff. And no, he said, that's for the Jews. He said, but we are to manifest this word. Women, do you no longer cut your hair? Well, that's manifested word. All right. Do you wear the right kind of clothes? That's manifested word. You see. So what you're doing? Do you no longer tell dirty jokes? Well, it's manifested word. You see. So the word is changing you. So we're already in the process, like I mentioned a few weeks ago, of resurrection, because it starts on the inside with us and it works out outward. Now, now, in Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the suffering of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. In us. Notice in us. All right, in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. So your adoption will be complete, your placement will be complete when you receive your glorified body. Now, with this intro, let us look at the first of our studies, and that of tunnels. In Malachi 4, we read, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. You see, they've been talking about global change, or global weather, or global this, and global that, global warming, global cooling. I mean, I remember, you know, in the 70s, it was global cooling. You know, we're going to see another ice age in 12 years. Now, then they said, they turned it and they said, oh, I guess it's going to be another heat wave in 12 years, and you'll see all the ice melt and everything else. And you know, it's a bunch of nonsense. God is getting ready the world for the burning. Now, I've got a message coming up that will show you how he does it. because the methane gas and things like that are leaking in such a way, they've been fracking and everything else. The gaseous part is not collected, it goes up. All right, they're collecting the liquid. Now, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud ye and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Brother Branham said that's healing campaigns, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. So now, number one, we see right there, all right, God is going to send a prophet, okay? Reality. He's here. He's already here. He's already gone. Okay, God will arise with healing in his wings, healing campaigns. What a reality. We saw a reality in the ministry of William Brown. And he shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb, in all Israel, with the statutes and judgment. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Now, did he come before? Yes, he did. All right. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children. Are we turned to the word? Yes, we are. And the heart of the children to their fathers, lest they come and smite the earth with a curse. Now, notice there is coming a time of judgment, and the whole world knows this time is upon us. The world governments have known this time is overdue, and so they have decided to go underground as the scriptures predicted they would. Now, you can see in the first picture, let me just take a look at that. And okay, you see the first picture, the jets underground, and then in the second picture, you see the jets underground, and the third, they're going underground, okay? Now, from testimony of raising a dead boy, Brother Bram said, so they claim that they got an underground air, bomb shelters and everything, the planes that can whirl or send out missiles that'll bomb every nation and every city in the United States in 5 minutes' time with atomic bombs and send them right out from that one place. Now, up until 2018, this was not possible, all right? Now, because in 5 minutes' time, it's not possible. But now the Russians have, they call it Satan II missile. It's a hypersonic missile, and it can reach our shores in just minutes. So this is now true, with atomic bombs and send them right out from that one place there. So, brother, we're living in a terrible age. We're living in the time when men ought to get right with God and seek God, and cause the hour's coming when destruction will just as sure to strike as I'm standing in the pulpit. We are bound to get it. How can we escape it, friends, if we're neglecting God and treating God the way that we are? How can we do it when folks going down through the city officials drinking whiskey to celebrate Christmas and things like that, how can we expect God to do anything different than to destroy these places? All right. Isn't that right? The whole nation is polluted everywhere. The whole world is polluted. That's right. Only one thing left, and that's the coming of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only hope in the world that we have. Flee to him tonight. Now, as you notice, there's another plane coming out. So we had one going in. We have others coming out. But now, remember, he says the whole thing is polluted. So polluted in politics, polluted in health care, polluted in education, polluted in government, polluted in mainstream media. I mean, everywhere you look, it's pollution. You know, we are living in the filthiest time on earth when you can turn on a YouTube and watch an old Western and all of a sudden there's basically something you shouldn't be seeing right in front of you. And so it's just the whole thing is polluted. You know, there's no standards anymore. And the only standard is that you can't say anything against, you know, the DNC. Because if you say anything against their agenda, then you're guilty of something. But anyway, you can't mention the word of God. You know, in Canada, the poor preacher up there, you know, he went and basically he was using his, I guess they don't have a constitution, but he was using his free speech up there. And, he's speaking out against the transvestites that were putting on a show, a puppet show for little kiddies. Well, he was there protesting. What did they do? They beat him to pulp. Then they hauled him off, as he's the aggressor, not those people that beat him. So, you know, it just makes, see, it's insanity. If you look up the word insanity, Brother Bam tells you, and we preached on it at the beginning of 2019, right before we got into the germ warfare. But if you see the things the prophet said on insanity, the world is just insane, just crazy. And there's, you know, what could you do if you vote for Republican or Democrat? It's just insane. The whole thing's insane. You know, they talk a lot, but they don't do nothing. All right, so Russia has now supersonic missiles that can reach American minutes, not ours. It is the Sarmat-2 and is dubbed the Satan-2 missile. The Sarmat is one of six new Russian weapons unveiled by Russian President Vladimir Putin on March 1st of 2018. The RS-28 Sarmat made its first test flight on April 20th of 22, and as of December 21, the Russian government expected the missile to enter service in 2022. So we are living on borrowed time. On 16th of August 22, a state contract was signed for manufacturing of the Sarmat strategic missile system. This is what it looks like, a picture. Okay, and again, we got more underground tunnels for airplanes. Okay, so Brother Bram says, from Speak to This Rock, he says, let me tell you, I passed right on the Iron Curtain here recently till they pulled the curtains down on that little old train. There's a big old Russian guard standing there with a gun on me like that. And while we passed by, and let us not look out 100 miles of a man-made tunnel. So Brother Bram back then was talking about man-made tunnels. I went up to the little Finnish officer and he said, isn't that awful? He could speak English and I said, what is it? He said, you Americans will learn pretty soon. Underground jet planes go out from under the ground like that. You see the planes going out from under the tunnel. Under there was atomic bombs. Everything just ready can fly the world around in just a little bit. With atomic bombs, and they can send these saucers out across the nation and drop a bomb in 20 minutes time, explode the whole nation. And actually, it's actually now less than 20 minutes time. It's 20 minutes. The Sarmat has a range of 20 to 30 minutes, depending on where it hits in America, that it can leave Moscow and be here in 20 minutes, okay, up to about 30. Now, but they have all of their underground nuclear subs parked off of the East Coast and the West Coast. So it's just a matter of time. You don't park something out there and spend the great deal of money on fuel to just put on a show. It's there for a purpose. Putin thinks that he is a righteous man because he doesn't believe in the sodomite condition. And he says Americans are sodomites. So he feels a righteous indignation to put us to our misery. And, of course, I'm all for it. Because either you get changed in the moment in twinkling of an eye by the word, or you get changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye by an atomic bomb. One way or other, you are going to that dimension. So I don't think you'll feel a thing. All right? So underground jet planes... go out from under the ground like that. Under there was atomic bombs, everything just ready to fly the whole world around in just a little bit with atomic bombs. You see, they didn't have the high-powered jets back in 65. You look up, and basically they were just transitioning at that time from propeller to jets. So you didn't have this high speed of the F-15s and things like that. You know what they had back then, F1 or F2 or something like that?
They had jets, but not fast.
Right. They were like 350 miles an hour or something. I mean, maybe up to about 500 or 600 miles an hour. But nothing compared to the Mach 1 and Mach 2 that they have today. So under there was atomic bombs, everything just ready, can fly the whole world around in just a little bit with atomic bombs. And they can send these saucers out across the nation, so there are going to be saucers as well, which they have actually, I know people think, oh, that's just, sci-fi, but they've actually taken some of these saucers, and actually Hitler had some saucers, and we've seen pictures of them, so we know that they have them. And he says they can take these saucers out across the country, drop a bomb, and 20 minutes time, the whole earth. Now, Putin has said of NATO and of the United Nations, he said it's very apparent that they want a world without Russia. He said, we're going to give them a no world. He said, if you get rid of Russia, we are going to get rid of you. So basically, it's everything is going to be taken out. That's according to Scripture. You know, Peter says that the world be dissolved with a great blast. So if they wasn't afraid of that chain of relay could stop that hydrogen bomb, they'd be doing it right now. Brother, while it's time to repent, get right with God. America, I talked to a fellow today. He said, you mean to tell me that God would ever let America be overrun? Yes, sir. Why? Said, as a respect of our fathers. All right? Now, in this picture here, you see tunnels, okay? It is common understanding now that the real reason why the governments throughout the world are trillions of dollars in debt is not because of welfare programs or military expenses. Those are essential in any economy, but they have, I mean, how do you spend $2 or $3 or up to $5 trillion in 1 year? You could repave the entire highway system. You could build bullet trains. You could mass transit. You could do everything with $4 or $5 trillion. But they are spending it on war, and they're hiding a lot of it, all right? The debt is not because of welfare programs or military expenses. Those are essential in any economy, but they have allowed these programs to grow exponentially to hide the real expenditure, which is preparing for the end. Therefore, in this study, we first will establish the fact that many governments and rich men are building themselves underground shelters. Next, we will show you, we think, why they're doing so. Now, if you turn in your Bible to Isaiah 2 and 19, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth. Well, who lives in a cave? A bat, right? All right. For fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. In that day, a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they have made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats. All right. Now, it's very interesting that the tunneling machine that was a subterranean is called the mole. So here we have scripture that says they will cast their money, their gold and silver, because that's, they didn't have paper money back then. They had gold and silver. They will cast it to the moles and to the bats. That's where the money is going. All right. From we would see Jesus. And when these signs begin to come to pass, then lift up our heads. Redemption draws nigh. Don't look down and be weary. You hear that? We should not be sad people. We should not be, getting on the RNC bandwagon and saying, oh, we got to get those Democrats. Forget them. Focus on getting out of here. Amen. We're getting ready for a journey. And you better be all ready to go because we're going to be going. Redemption draw nigh. Don't look down and be weary. We're just coming to the place for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Instead of being weary, we should be the most happiest people in the world. And we are. Sure, we are because we're not afraid of bombs. Why the bombs doesn't bother us. As I said the other night, now this is a picture. I'll just so you can see it. There is a picture. Look at the size of the men compared to the size of the boring machine. Now, I was in England, in France, with Brother Marcus Yonker several years back, I think 2009 or 10. and he took me to where the English Channel comes across. And they have on display one of these. A big tunneling machine, and this was used in the creation of the tunneling, okay? And as I said the other night, you cannot dig far enough to get away from it. Why, we wasn't made to be moles, and yet the machine is called the mole, right? We were made to live on top of the earth, see? live in peace and love and trusting God. And they are trying to build bomb shelters and construct them with steel. Why, if you dig a million feet under the ground, which you can't do it, okay, you just hyperbole, you'd still be lost as soon as the bomb hit. If it hit anywhere within 100 or 200 miles from you, how far is Wright Pat from here? 35 miles? How far is Wright Pat from St. Paris? About 35, 40 miles. You can't get away from it, brother, sister. I mean, hallelujah. All right? We have, you know, if you got a choice to get out of here that way or get out of here his way, which way are you going to choose? I mean, that's a stupid question, but, you know, it's a reality. I'm choosing his way. So, you know, I live every day for getting out of here, okay? Now, so he says it'll blow 150 yards deep and 150 miles square, and that's the one that they know about. We don't know what they got that they haven't let us know about yet, okay, or about. So, listen, they've got machines that took down the, you know, the Twin Towers that just evaporated them. I mean, it was called dustification, and they took that down. So they got weapons, brother, sister, that make, you know, listen, if you look back at Tesla and see the weapons that he designed are being made now, I mean, they have plasma machines and everything else for, you know, air defense. So it's you know, the Bible says before the flood that the thoughts of man was continuously evil. Well, I think we've reached that time as it was in the days of Noah. All right. Now, okay, another tunnel here. From behold, a greater than Solomon is here. He said, why, you don't have to talk about bomb shelters. People are digging under the ground like moles, trying to get away from the atomic. How are you going to do it? Why, they blow a hole in the ground about a mile deep and 150 miles square. So, well, if you was 50 miles below the earth, plumb below the lava, the shock of it would break every bone in your body. I mean, how many ever experiment with firecrackers when they're kids? All right? I stuffed one in a frog one time in his mouth and blew it up, and you couldn't even find the... Well, you know, kids, boys will do things. Girls don't do these kinds of stuff, but boys will kind of do things, whatever they want to do, because just because it, because we can. You know, like we would take a little pill box and we'd capture a bee and we'd take his stinger out with a little thing and let him walk around our hand. You know, just because we're boys, right? Oh, you don't, you understand what it's saying, right? Right. He's a boy, okay. So, well, if that, he says, there's no way of at all of escape. Only one way, but we've got a bomb shelter. It's not made out of steel, but it's made out of feathers. You know, listen, I remember Brother Bell saying the same thing. You know, he'd take a fly, and he'd take the wings off the fly, just because he could. And he'd let the fly just, he couldn't fly, so he'd just walk all over his hand, you know. But under his wings, amen. It's not down here, it's up there. You get what I'm talking about. When you soar into his bosom, sure, that's the escape. So get yourself ready for getting out of here. Just live your life looking with anticipation for it, because he said he will appear the second time to those who are looking for him. So if we're looking for him, that's what we're looking for. Now, again, you see the tunnel up here on the right side, and a group of about 40 men. See, the tunnels are over 40 feet wide. All right, they're big enough for two lanes of highway. So there's no security. He says there's no way to get away from it. You can't dig down. Then bombs will blow up 150 feet in the ground, or for 100 miles almost. And that's what we know about. What of those that we don't know about? Every nation has its secrets they're holding back, and just wonder what we do know about. Then they're talking about all this parading into a places and finding somewhere a bomb shelter, digging down in the ground, going to move the government under some tunnels. Now, they did that They actually put the government. Now, I had a guy, Craig Wilson, used to come to church here, and he was in the military at the time. You know, he actually came out on vacation, and he worked in the Granite Mountain. And the doors of Granite Mountain are 25 tons each half. 25 tons each half, that's 50 tons. And they're supposed to be impenetrable, you know, with atomic bombs and things like that. But they have caverns or tunnels crisscrossing America. And a few years ago, they reported at a baseball game in, I think it was Virginia or someplace, maybe South Carolina. And they said there was a great, you know, rumble, and they thought maybe we've had an earthquake. It was not an earthquake. It was a nuclear bomb that the Russians have these nuclear packages, and you can find Brother Bam talking about that back then. And they have nuclear packages that they can blow up an entire city or at least not entire, but, you know, 1 square mile with these nuclear bombs. They have 100 of them. They're CIA. They're not CIA, but he was a defector. Who has told us that they had 100 of these things. And anyway, to make a long story short, the government has been moving the FBI out to Denver. Denver has a cavernous man created, not a cave, but a cavernous that man created city under the Denver airport. That's why there's so many pictures, and you can just go online and see the city. It's actually like 3 miles square, city under the, and it's many, many stories deep. And so they were moving things back and forth, and all of a sudden this eruption. And we are told that that was actually a nuclear blast that went off to collapse part of the mountain to prevent them from moving any further. So now they got to move up. Or use another tunnel, some places the Russians don't know about, but I think they pretty much know about them all. So basically, they were just shutting the doors so we couldn't move to the underground city, okay? Then they're talking about all this parading, going into places and finding somewhere a bomb shelter, digging down in the ground, going to move the government under some tunnels. What good would it do? Well, one of them bombs would and you'd be 1,500 below it, and it would break every bone in your body, the concussion would. So, you know, these men think that just because they're on top of the ground, that they can hide away under the ground. Listen, I don't care where you put your bomb shelters. You know, the bomb shelters they sell you, you know, humans, won't even do a regular bomb. I mean, a regular bomb will go 30 feet down, you know, blow a hole 30 or 40 feet down. And these bomb shelters that you buy off the market, you know, go down maybe 2 or 3 stories. And that's it. Well, first of all, you're sealed in like a sardine if you do survive the blast. Secondly, the radiation and penetration, you know, when you come up, I mean, the air that you breathe, if you have a good air system, and it makes it through the blast, you're breathing in radiated air. You know, it doesn't matter, brothers and sisters. Get your minds off of all of that and get your minds on the fact that we are going home, all right? So what good would it do you, okay? So the government has been going underground since the late 50s and 60s. It is a fact, and part of the end-time prophecies is spoken of for over 2,700 years via the scriptures and over 60 years ago by William Branham, our end time prophet. Now, again, we just see another picture of the tunnel. And you notice the tunnel looks like glass. It's because it is. They go in the front end of the tunnel. They use a nuclear, basically they melt the ground. They don't dig it. You know, they don't, like the old 1940s movies, you know, where they have an auger kind of that, tipped on a side, and they, no, it actually, these are subterranes created in the 70s. They can do 3 to 4 miles a day, and about 40 feet long, and they're glass filled. All right. Now, there's two reasons for the glass. Number one is to get rid of the debris that comes through. It's melted down and it's sprayed up on top of the walls to harden them. Glass is very, very tough. And so now you have You don't have to put in concrete to things like that and pillars and posts and everything else. You just glass it. The whole thing becomes a glass hole, okay? So anyway, so the government has been going underground, as I said, for, 70, 80 years now. Okay, from the Queen of Sheba, Brother Branham said, people today trying to dig under the earth to find a bomb shelter to put the government down in Kentucky somewhere in one of the caves. Now, they've got a bomb that they can't even hide in a cave from. You go 170 feet deep in the ground, or if you made it out of solid steel, 500 feet in the ground, the concussion, that would kill everything. It would break every bone in your body, certainly would, blow a hole in the earth 150 miles square, 170 miles square feet in the ground. How are you ever going to get away from it? Well, I'll tell you right now, the church has a shelter, but it's not made of steel. It's made out of feathers. Now, again, you see a picture up in the right-hand corner. That's called a subterranean. All right? It notices it's pretty long, because if it's 40 feet in diameter, then probably take two or three times that. It's about 120 maybe feet long. Under his wings, the church will abide and will be lifted up into glory away from the things of the world. Sure. Oh, if the nation would only listen and receive and rally around this gift, this would be a golden age. The gift of the Holy Spirit that God sent back. Behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. Tarry you in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with high from on high. Okay. Now, going back again to Isaiah and the second verse of the second chapter. And it shall come to pass in the last days. Okay. Then we see in verse 10. So speaking of the last days. All right. Then we see in verse 10. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. So nobody is going to be exalted anymore. None of these politicians are sitting amongst them. Oh, I've got, I bought a missile silo. It's only, guess what? It's 260 feet deep. And what do you mean? Brother Bram says, look, I don't care if it's 156 deep. I don't care if it's 500 feet deep. It's going to be so rocking, so shaken that every bone in your body, and you're going to be like a fried in tuna, or like a, you put tuna in it, just take the can and unopen it and just throw it in the fire, and you come out cooked tuna, because that's what you're going to be, is just cooked tuna. There's a brother he didn't believe this message. I mean, he said he was a message believer living in Congo, but there's two million so-called message believers. About 1 million of them are in Congo. And he said, they said he was living in Congo, and they said, this volcano, the lava's heading for our city, so get out of the city. Well, if he had read the message where Brother Branham talked about the man, said, I'll survive the flood. I'll just go up higher. And he went up on his roof, and he got bitten by about 40 snakes. So the man, he scoffs at it. He says, I'm a message believer, so therefore God's got to take care of me. And they took pictures of him after the lava had destroyed the city, and his body, his wife's body, everything was I don't remember, vitrified or something like that, the word that they used. But basically, it was just down to the bone. I mean, it was just burnt. He was ashes. Okay? So that's the way you're going to be if you don't get out of here. All right? So enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust, and the fear of the Lord and the glory of majesty, the lofty looks of man, be humbled, and the haughtiness of man shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Now, I don't care how much you say you believe the message. Another man in Congo, you're saying, I'm a message preacher, and I'm going to this city to preach, but, I'll stand under this tree and preach to these people here. And he was calling the Lord Jesus Christ. Basically, he was saying bad words about him, and he was lifting up William Branham as if he was God, and the man's head blew up. It just got about so big, and he just choked to death, and he died. And, I can't explain it, but I've seen pictures of it. And, you don't mess around and make a vessel of God anything more than just a vessel. God is God, and man is man, all right? Now, from the paradox, how the moon can, billions of miles off the earth, can still control the tide. Tell me how this great galaxy that we live in, how could the moon have any effect upon the waters on the earth? Scientifically, tell me how it's done. It could not be done, but there's a scientific way of telling it. But God set the moon to watch the sea. And when the moon begins to turn its back, when the earth turns away, here comes the tide. But when he wakes up the next morning, looks back this way, the tide runs back to his place, it's a watchman. Oh, you say, that's just on the seashore. No, that's right up here in Arizona, plumb back in the state of Kentucky, where you dig a hole down in the ground far enough to find salt water. You find out when that tide goes out, that salt water goes down in the pipe. Now, you know, I'd like to just mention this. You look at the state of Missouri, and they have salt mines. Where'd the salt come from? It's layers, layers and layers and layers. Salt mine. Up in the Andes Mountains, Brother Mario, he took me on a trip. They have salt flats. Where did the salt come from? They was underwater at one time. I would say probably the time of Noah. But anyway, so it's now all salty because all that water melted and the salt was left, okay? And so when the tides come in, it also raises hundreds of miles from the seashore. We could preach a sermon on that, how that God, no matter, he is in glory, but his orders there is just the same effect on the whole world and anybody that takes the promise. His order is given. He has laws of nature, and they will absolutely carry them true from Pentecost or any other time. Any time that God made the promise, he'd still stay with that promise regardless of where the people's at. How many thousands of years off, his laws ever remained the same. All right, now here's another picture. You see about 30 men standing there, and you see that huge subterranean, okay? Now, from the scriptural signs of the time, why we're talking about going to Fort Knox and moving the government down there and digging down into the ground, why them Russian bombs goes maybe 100 and 200 yards down into the ground and blow it for 150 miles, why the concussion would go plumb into the lava. You're not safe anymore on this earth. There's only one safety, and that's in the arms of Jesus. He's our retreat. But what if we denied as Americans and we all trusted in that gift that God give us, the Holy Ghost in the last days? Why every nation would fear like they did in the days of Solomon. But God gave Solomon a gift to know all. The church, the whole church, everybody believed it. That was a millennium for the Jews. That was the Old Testament millennium in the days of Solomon, a foreshadow of the millennium to come. The golden age of the Jews. Notice, nobody started a war with them. They feared them because they know their God was real, because they had him in their presence. And the people was all one heart and one accord. Why, the fame went everywhere. Everywhere, and you'd hear, oh, what a great thing great God of Israel has, a living God. And his fame went way down into Sheba. Measure it on the map and see how far it is. Just tell me. Have a conversation with an Egyptian from that time, and he'll tell you how great that God is. He destroyed the greatest army on earth in the matter of a few minutes. So from greater than Solomon's here, he said, we would have a bomb shelter, all right. It would be dug down into the ground. Then bombs will blow a hole in the ground 150 yards or 200 yards or something like that, deep in the ground and spread out for 150 miles. Why? They were a thousand. If you was down into the lava, it would break every bone of your body. You can't dig down. You have to dig up to get away from it. And we have a shelter. And he made our shelter is made out of feathers. And then he sings a song, under his wings, carried away. I'm so glad for that shelter. Yes, sir. Under his wings. Why, the dust won't be settled till we'll be in glory. That's right. Safety in his wings. Oh, how that great wings of an eagle will pack us out of here one of these days. And so I've got a picture of a mother swan, and you notice she's protecting her little ones, okay? And that's the same as God. All right, under his wings, you know, the song goes, okay? Now, from the message, why? The best way that God could ever fortify his army was to fortify them with the best. if our nation, now we've got spies in England, England's got spies here, you were, yet we're friendly. We've got spies all over the world, and the world's got spies in here. Now, it's interesting that in the 80s was the year of the spies, because Aldrich Ames and Howard and people like that, you know, there was like, I think there was like in 1 year, 84, there was like four or five spies that were found, and they were with the FBI, they were with the NSA, they were with the CIA. They were in every part of government. So they've got spies everywhere. And so he says that. And so anyway, they're watching, seeing what kind of new missile, what kind of a new thing. Then they go back to their nation, find something to counteract that with, while they dress their men, get things ready for that kind of war. You see, the greatest Russian spy was the man who worked in the military industrial complex in Russia. And basically, he gave us everything, and then we redesigned, came out with a stealth bomber and this and that. And he gave us everything because he didn't like the Russians, even though he worked for them. But anyway, and then, of course, he was found out and he was executed. But so anyway, he says there's a war between the devil and God, always has been, always has been. And every year we find something new. The old airplanes they used to have back there, the old P-38s and whatever it was, they scrapped them. They got jets now, all right? The old Springfield's no longer good at all. Now, Don, you used to have a Springfield, didn't you? All right. And it is a good, you know, good shot. I mean, it's a very accurate rifle, but it's nothing compared to, he said they got a missile rifle now. Well, see the bottom of the picture, you see they're shooting missiles. So, you know, why go to a knife fight? Why go to a gun fight with a knife, right? Well, why would you go to, a missile fight with a bullet? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. All right, so they got missiles now. The old blockbuster is so far behind. Why, even the old trains, the old steam engines used to pull the stuff up and down the tracks. It's obsolete. Sure, they got something new. They're always searching something new. Now they're trying to dig down in the ground, find some way to escape the atomic bomb. Something new. You know, they have tunnels that I think it takes two hours or something like that to go from New York to Los Angeles. And they're only for government use. They have made that for the people use, okay? Also, I know, because I read it, that in Norway they have 7 tunnels, and they are to house the entire population of Norway. And it will take them a matter of minutes to get on a train, and then the trains will go park themselves under the mountain someplace. Well, you know, if you've got a bomb that can destroy a mountain, what good is it going to do you to hide on a mountain? I mean, they've got the food bank that has all the seeds in the earth, and they have it in case there's a nuclear holocaust and somehow somebody survives it. And of course, they can walk across the world to find, you know, this place in northern Norway. And if they can get in, you know, then maybe they'll have some seeds to start over again. Well, listen, God has a better plan. You come into Christ, and you will be back to walk upon the ashes of the wicked. I guarantee it, okay? Because it's thus saith the Lord. Now, from letting off the pressure, you see this. You see why this is so important. You know, it's because I'm trying to get you to see the reality of what they've been doing, what the prophets said they would do. They've done it, all right? And we read scriptures from 2,500, 2,700 years ago where Isaiah said they would do it, and they've done it. And I'm showing you that we are in the harvest of that work. See, it was a seed then. For 2,700 years, it's been a seed. But you know what? It's manifested today. You see, it was a seed 65 years ago when the prophet said it. But you know what? It's a manifested word today. Therefore, it is no longer word. It's reality. Hallelujah. All right. Now, from letting off the pressure, he said, I'm so glad today that there is a place of refuge where all of this rush and hustle and bustle, we can let off the pressure and go and get out of it all. Okay. People are afraid of atomic bombs. They're afraid of fallout. When I was nearing your city down here in the state, this great big sign says, warning, fallout. Everybody's scared, trying to dig down to the ground to get away from it. You know, the only farther you have to go down is just to your knees. You're sure to get away from it. If you just drop that far, you don't have to be a mole. Go beneath the ground. Just go to your knees. That's all the farther you have to go. Billy Paul had a dream with a mountain cut out without hands was falling on Tucson, and they happened to be with Brother Branham. He came into a church. And he said, "The Lord is coming before morning." And then Peregrine or whoever got up and said, "Well, you know, the Bible says no man would know the day or the hour." He said, "I didn't say the day or the hour. I said before morning." In other words, that fits both classes because it could be today, it could be tomorrow, but it's before the morning. So Billy Paul comes, gets in the car with his dad. He said, "Well, what about Lois?" He says, "Too late." And so then he goes down with his dad, and they drive in the dream. They drive up the mountain to where he used to pray a lot, and they're looking down over the city. And Billy sees this huge mountain cut out without hands falling down. And he said, "I didn't tell this in the dream, but," he said, "Daddy told me, don't look, just pray. Don't look, just pray." So, brother, sister, if you see it coming, if they say it's coming, the sirens go off, whatever, just go to your knees and be in prayer at that time, because before one missile strikes this country, Brother Bram said, we have a promise of God that we will be in the arms of Christ. All right. Now, from Jesus Christ the same, he said, in the days when the atomic missiles, Russians got Sputniks in there, and these, and why there's a no rest nowhere, only in Christ. There's not one. Our nation we cannot build our hopes upon it, because any little nation could throw a bomb over here and blow us off the earth. Warfare's about over. You need to know you just need one man to pull the trigger. It'll all go to pieces. Well, now you don't even need a man to pull the trigger. It's automatic. If Russia is destroyed, if Moscow is destroyed, even though they have bomb shelters underneath, but if it's destroyed, they have in the works. It's called the last day hand, and basically it is a system. It's not digital. It's a analog system, and basically it just sets in motion all of their weapons to be discharged at the same time. So that's why Putin said, if there is no Russia, there is no Earth, because we're not going out of here alone. We'll take all of you with us, including Africa, including South America, everywhere. Okay, so they're trying to build a hole down in the ground, crawl into it, and they got a bomb that'll blow a hole 500 foot deep and almost 1,000 or 100 miles square. Well, if it was 10,000 feet below the Earth, it'd break every bone in your body, the concussion of it. Okay. Having faith in God. Now, look, I've already read you a dozen or so, I'm close to it, maybe at least half a dozen, scriptures and quotes from the prophet that speaks of, you know, these bomb shelters. So, you know, it's apparent that it was on the mind of the prophet. It's on the mind of the prophet, then it should be on our mind. All right? Now, God's anger is kindled against this nation, and you're going to receive punishment and judgment. Write it in the fly leaf of your Bible and say that Brother Bram said, if it doesn't come to pass, I'm a false prophet, and for I have thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord what? This nation is cursed. Deuteronomy 28 is a curse of every nation. All right, we will not only see germ warfare, which we have seen, but we it'll continue to see it. But we also have a dollar that's going kaput. They've already, last Thursday, they already declared that you cannot enter a national park without credit card of some sort. They will no longer take cash. So your days are limited as to, unless you know, have a few things, but he's coming anyway, so just don't worry about it. If it doesn't come to pass, I'm a false prophet, for I have thus saith the Lord. So you escape that wrath. There's only one way. I notice on your streets around here, you got the bomb shelters. Won't do you one speck of good. what would happen that a bomb that can blow a hole in the ground 175 feet deep for 3 miles square, what if you were, you see how things evolved from 150 to 300, you know, from 3 miles, from a mile and a half to 3 miles, just in the time of this quote, okay? What if you were 500 foot down in the ground? It wouldn't be, it would be such a concussion, there wouldn't be a bone left in you. Well, if there's no bone left in you, then I guess you'd be like the message people that don't have any doctrine. Because he said, if you don't have a doctrine, you don't have a message. So I guess that if you don't have, and he said, if you don't have a doctrine, you don't have a church. So anyway, so I guess you'd just be like everybody else. spineless, okay? So anyway, so Russia reveals the RS-28 Sarmat Satan II nuclear missile. This is an article by David Reed from CNBC. And it says, Russia has declassified the first image of its new thermonuclear-armed intercontinental ballistic missile. The RS-28 Sarmat would carry a payload of wiping out a landmass the size of Texas or France. Well, Brother Bram's day was 3 miles, 150 feet deep. Now it's the size of France. You know what? Size of Texas. Look at the size of Texas there. You look at the size of France. Okay. In other words, you got if you place the tip of the of Texas on the west side, right, even with France, it would go into Austria, and you know it would take a hold of Italy, and I mean you know it would just wipe out half of Europe. Half a year. I've driven across those nations, and I know that then two or three of them, and you're gone. The whole nation of under NATO would be gone. You don't think that they got more than two or three? All right. So Russia has declassified the first image of the thermonuclear message. It says an image of an RS-28 Sarmat missile, Makiev Rocket Design Bureau, known colloquially as Satan II, the missile will replace the RS-36M, which was dubbed Satan by NATO after entering service in the 1970s. Robert Kelly, a former nuclear weapons expert at the U.S. Department of Energy, said the new missile was likely an upgrade of electronics rather than explosive power or range. The range of the missile will be about the same. The explosive destruction power will be about the same, but the reality, flexibility, and confidence in the warhead's ability to hit their targets will go way up, says Kelly, who is now a distinguished associate fellow at the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute. He added, your iPhone can do thousands of more things today, listen to this, than in the 1970s when these systems were first deployed. I remember working at Sperry Univac when they cooled the big Cray computers with water from the Minnesota River, and I walked through those tunnels as a child. I was only like maybe Bo's age, but my dad took us for an open house, and we walked through the cooling tunnels because they had it on display for the people. And today, in one little chip, that's smaller than your fingernail, you have more power than a three-story building that was all computer back in Brother Branham's day. So you can see that the capacities are much more there. So your iPhone can do thousands of more things today than in the 1970s when these systems were first deployed. Many of the clunky electronic circuits of that era no longer exist, and no one knows how to make them anymore. What would the U.S. Air Force be doing digging tunnels deep underground? In Isaiah 22 and 12 says, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon them, upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. And the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish, and they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. You see, Brother Ram's talking about shaking terribly. You see it? All right, here it is. For fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, when he shall rise and shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship the mole, to the moles, okay? Now, and to the bats. Now, a mole is those that dig tunnels, all right? A mole is those who dig tunnels. And the bats are those who dwell in caves and caverns. You know, it's funny, isn't it, that it seems like today the only caves that we hear about is where Ebola and some of these things are coming from. They say, well, they're coming from the bats that live in the caves. Well, it's funny because those same scientists are probably got their chambers, I think maybe even some of their stuff's been moved into the caves. So, in other words, the rich will pay out their wealth to gain entrance to the tunnels and underground caves and caverns. And that is exactly what the next verse tells us. Now, I could have bought for, I think it was about $200,000, about 5 years ago, a missile silo that's actually down in the ground. But you see, I didn't go buy it because, number one, you know, it was too much money. But number two, I just thought it was interesting to look at it. It was the old Nike missiles. You know, you've seen the Nike Center. Well, that complex there, they sold it. And basically, it's underwater now anyway. It's all one big swimming pool. And so the roof would lift up, and then the Nikes would shoot out. Okay, that's how those type. And those were more or less, they weren't intercontinental missiles. They were more or less for the United States to shoot down rockets in place. So, all right. But anyway, in other words, the rich will pay out their wealth. Okay, he says, go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks. When the Lord rises to shake terribly the earth. So it's going to shake. It's going to shake terribly. Just exactly what Brother Bram said. I'd rather be in a down pillow, or, you know, in other words, I'd rather be in his pillow, all right, than under his wings, you know. All right, so uncertain sound. He says, so there's no security, and there's no way to get away from it. You can't dig down. Then bombs will blow 150 feet in the ground for 400 miles square almost. You see, notice it's even changed from the 3 miles now to the 400. Well, we saw the size of Texas is what the Sarmat can do now. So technology is increasing, and they are able to do things now. I mean, it's gone like from a mile and a half now, from that quote to a quote 3 miles. That was a few years. But then at the end, 400 miles. Well, what is it today? It's the size of Texas. So, you know, you ain't going to run. I mean, look, how many live within 40 miles of Wright Pat? You know Wright Pat's one of the number one targets. So, you know, you can live 400 miles away and still be shooken to death. So, you know, hey, you know, just give him your praise. That's all I can say. Give him your praise. Then bombs will blow 150 feet in the ground for 100 miles square. And that's the way that we know. What are those that we don't know about? Every nation has secret things that they're holding back, and just wonder what we do know about them. When they're talking about all this parading and going into places and finding somewhere a bomb shelter, digging in the ground, moving to the government under some tunnel, what good would it do? Well, if one of them bombs would hit, you'd be 150 feet below. It would break every bone in your body, the concussion would. Okay, now, so what are they called? They're called subterranes, all right? Nuclear-powered tunneling machines, all right? How, from the Hollow Earth and Tunnel System, since the 1950s, the U.S. government has made nuclear-powered tunneling machines. They were patented in the 1970s, U.S. Patent 3693, 731, And as it burrows through the rock hundreds of feet below the surface, the subterranean heats whatever stone it encounters into molten rock or magma, which cools after the subterranean has moved on. The result is a tunnel with a smooth glass lining, something like black glass, which apparently is also strong enough that it doesn't even require reinforcing the walls. It was featured in Omni magazine in September of 1983. So with the picture here in the U.S. Patent Office, I think that adds up to incontrovertible evidence that these things are real, all right? And further to that, it is highly likely that the claims of the underground bases and tunnels across America, if not the world, are indeed true. Now, I didn't spend any time on it, but I have a picture here, and I think it's only a couple pages, so we'll just go back to it. Good grief, I don't know what's happening with my mouse. But let me try it. Okay. Let's try it here. All right. Not that one. Well, maybe a few more pages than I thought. It's actually right in the middle someplace. It shows America and shows all the tunnels and all the so-called hiding places in America. And we must have missed it. Let me just continue to go down. Right here. You can see across America and across the world, actually, you see all those little dots. Those are government installations underground. Okay. Now let me just move on. Okay. The nuclear subterranean was designed at Los Alamos National Laboratory in New Mexico. A number of patents were filed by scientists in Los Alamos. Nuclear subterraneans work by melting their way through the rock and soil, actually vitrifying it as they go. So I was right. It was called vitrification. And leaving a neat, solidly glass-lined tunnel behind them. The heat is supplied by a compact nuclear reactor that circulates liquid lithium from the reactor's core to the tunnel. Have you ever seen those buses? Anybody see that recently? They showed the buses that were lithium run buses. They were on fire. Anybody see the fire that coming from them? It's so hot. It's like a burning furnace. You know the government has ordered, certain states have ordered, to have buses that are made, they use the lithium batteries. Well, the lithium batteries are so compact, and when they are sparked wrong, could lead to damage. How many have ever seen pictures of the battery-operated cars, you know, like Teslas and stuff like that, at a charging station, and they're on fire? All right. Well, that fire is tremendous because it spreads from car to car, and every car at the station, even though it didn't start the fire, ended up in the fire. And so this bus is wickedly terrible. If I have it, I think I deleted, but I'll ask the brother to send it to me again. But anyway, so you know, it's just you talk about adding fuel to the fire. All right. Well, we're adding fuel to the fire here. The heat is supplied by a compact reactor nuclear that circulates the liquid lithium from the reactor core to tunnel the face, where it melts. Look, it has to be. What else would make it so hot? All right? In the process of melting the rock, the lithium loses some of its heat. It is then recirculated back along the exterior of the tunneling machine to help cool the vitrified rock as the tunneling machine forces its way forward. The cooled lithium then circulates back to the reactor where the whole cycle starts over. In this way, the nuclear subterranean slices through the rock with a nuclear-powered 2,000 degrees Fahrenheit. You know, how many enjoy the weather when it's like 90 and to 100? I don't. It's too hot. Unless you're in, you know, some place like Phoenix that's dry. But your dry heat's better than humidity. But 2,000 degrees—that's those like those buses that were on fire, okay? Help the vitrified rock as the tunneling machine forces its way forward. The cool lithium then circulates back to the reactor and the whole recycle. Okay, I'm just going to pass on a little bit. This is, again, the nuclear submarine. Subterrane has an advantage over mechanical TBMs in that it produces no muck that must be disposed of by a conveyor, trains, trucks, etc. This greatly simplifies tunneling. So now, you see, these are just pictures, but I want you to look at more of the pictures than the reading, because the reading tells you, you know, basically that it goes in and comes out a hole, and that hole is all glass. So, you know, you don't have to haul with a truck or with conveyors, or, you know, you don't have men like the old days with a pickaxe making a tunnel. It's just burn. It's like taking a match and putting it to a piece of toilet paper and just puts a hole right through it. Only the match, you know, I mean, or taking a hot pin and sticking in something, it just puts a hole right through it. Okay. The 1972 patent makes it clear. It says debris may be disposed as melted rock, both as a lining in the holes and as a disbursement in grass produced in the surrounding rocks. Okay, again, you see pictures of the says the speeds as high as 14,000 miles per hour have been examined in studies by the RAND Corporation in an example case of a direct link between Los Angeles and New York, requiring 21 minutes transit time. So I was wrong about the 2 hours. It's 21 minutes. you probably stand in line longer than that. But then you get on and I'll say, poof, how does your body take the pressure, the G-force of 14,000 miles an hour. How fast do the planes go? The F-15, maybe 1,500 miles. This is 10 times faster. You'd have to be gassed up with a gas mask and probably have your everything else in your body. I mean, you know, a woodpecker is made to take, you know, it's beating its head, but you're not meant to take that, you know. So, you know, but look at the glass-lined walls on the side, you know. So, anyway, all melt, not used in glass lining is bored, is forced into the cracks where it freezes and remains such a vitreous lining. It eliminates, in most cases, the expensive and cumbersome problem of debris elimination. Tunneling machine that creates no muck and leaves a smooth, vitreous, glassy tunnel behind. Okay, so this is just more on the same, and I'm just for time's sake, we'll pass through this. All right, now this picture here, you see how there's many tunnels and there's several homes that are connected to, you know, with the tunnels to each other. Chrissy, have you ever walked between UC and Children's Hospital? They've had those tunnels since, how old is that? Probably at least the 50s and 60s. You know, they have tunnels downtown, in downtown Dayton, in downtown Cincinnati, and all over the place, where you can walk from place to place. You can walk for miles. It's a long, long walk, 15 minutes or so, which is at least 1 or 2 miles. And you can walk under those tunnels and never see the day of light. And so if it's raining outside, you don't know it. You know, and you go in from one place in your building, you go out another place, another building. So it's just there, okay? All right. Then, again, In the 1973 Los Alamos study entitled Systems and Cost Analysis of Nuclear Subterranean Machine, Tunneling Machine, a Preliminary Study, etc. I'm just going to go through some of this because we got 25 pages, and some of this is just technical, and maybe some of you people are not so technical. So I'll spare you, okay, the details. But the details are here. We have the patent basically here in the study, okay? And then we get down. So the problem with all this expenditure is that the elites think that they will secure safety, but the scripture tells us differently. Isaiah 24 tells us they that go down will in fact be trapped inside, and the vaults and I forget the rest of the scripture, but anyway, I didn't see that I cut that off somehow. But anyway, basically it says that that he that goes into the caves, or he that goes in the tunnels, he says he'll be trapped inside. So, you know, we got it in Isaiah 24, just read it, and you see that they think they're hiding. No, they're becoming a canned tuna. I mean, maybe, you know, at least the vultures won't get them. But so, all right, Isaiah 24, 1. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty. Okay, what's that? Depopulation. And maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down. That's a global shift. And scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest. In other words, they're saying the same thing. As with the servant, so with their master. As with the maid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury. In other words, these judgments will be no respecter of person. All right? Deuteronomy 28 is for everybody, except for the elect. Because Deuteronomy 28 says, if you don't hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, these curses will come upon you and overtake you. In other words, like a runner who's running his race, and he thinks he's going to finish, and all of a sudden this guy, Hosea, comes speeding right past him, and he's overtaken. Well, that's the same way these things come upon you and overtake you, all right? And the land shall be utterly emptied, in other words, depopulated, not only spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken his word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away, the world languisheth, and underground highways will become their graves. Okay, and underground highways will become their graves, fadeth away, and the haughty of the earth, of the people of the earth, do languish. The earth also is defiled. Now, I know it doesn't use underground highway, so, but I think it used a different word there. But anyway, fadeth away, the haughty people of the earth do languish, the earth also is defiled upon the inhabitants because they have transgressed the law. So what laws have they transgressed? Well, transgenderism for one, all right? And abortion for another. And all these sodomite laws that have transgressed the laws of God, one woman, one man, you know. They changed the God-given laws like marriage between one man and woman and the laws of decency by making LGBT bathrooms politics, okay? They changed the ordinances, broken down the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse of the Lord devoured thee. Now, I'm going to look up real quick if I can, and probably in Isaiah. Okay, we are in Jeremiah. Go to Isaiah. 24 and verse 4. Okay. Sorry to take the time here, but I'm just going to read this for you. All right. The earth dries up and withers, and the world languishes and withers, and the exalted of the earth languish. The earth is defiled by its people. They have disobeyed the laws. They have violated the statutes and broken the everlasting covenant. So, you know, God is, by withering it up, I mean, what was there is no longer there. Okay. So, therefore hath the curses devoured the earth. Deuteronomy 26 or 28, all to understand the curses, all that we have to do to understand the curses that we have to begin, that have begun and continue on the people of the earth. All you have to do is read Deuteronomy 26 and you see what's coming. Because they did not hearken to the voice of the Lord their God. And they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. The new wine mourneth, the vine languishes, and all the merry-hearted do sigh. The mirth of the tabrets ceaseth. In other words, music stops. The noise of them that rejoiceth endeth. The joy of the harp ceaseth. They shall not drink wine with a song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is boarded up. It's shut up, boarded up. What do they do in China? If you lived in these big complexes, which most people do, I don't think hardly anybody has a single family dwelling except for out in the country. So they live in these big, you know, commercial high rises and all this other stuff. What do? They board it up. The government put on a 2-week moratorium to where you couldn't go out of your house. So the people then, you know, if they try to get out, their doors were all welded shut. so they couldn't get up. So people were jumping out of sky rises. All right? That's what's happened in the news, okay? So the new wine, you know, so it says the city of confusion is broken down. Every house is boarded up that no man come in. There's a cry for wine in the city streets. All joy is darkened. The myth of the land is gone. In a city of the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is gone. Look, the Euphrates River is dried up, right? You all know that? All right. What about Damascus? The Bible says, we're going to get into that down the road, but the Bible says, you know, when we get to the part on nation versus nation, I got pictures of Damascus. It is rubble. Just rubble. It looks like World War II, only worse. It is rubble. And it says Damascus shall be no more. All right? We're living in the time that that scripture has been fulfilled. All right? Now, when thus it shall be in the midst of the land, the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree. What do you shake an olive tree for? To get the olives down, right? All right? So it's going to be a great shaking. Brother Bram said they're going to be shaken to death. There'll be no bones left. And as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done, they shall lift up their voice. They shall sing for the majesty of the Lord. They shall cry aloud in the sea. Okay? What is sea? Peoples, nations, multitudes, and tongues. All right? As they are swept into the seas. Wherefore, glorify ye the Lord in the fire, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isle of the sea. From the utmost parts of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me. What is leanness? It's no fat. There's no fat, right? It's lean. It's lean meat. It's no fat. Why would people have no fat? Because they're hungry. They're hungry, all right? So there's no food. Okay, so it says, wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, even the name of the God of Israel, etc. From the uttermost parts of the earth have we heard songs, even glory to the righteous. But I said, my leanness, woe unto me, the treacherous deals have dealt treacherously. Yea, the treacherous dealers have dealt treacherously. They shall be traitors, brother, sister. The Bidens dealing treacherously with Ukraine, dealing treacherously, making money off their campaign, off their visits to these China and these different places. Traitors. Fear and the pit. All right, here it is. And the snare are upon thee, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall come to pass that he who fleeth the noise of the fear shall fall into the pit. And he that cometh up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken into the snare. For the windows from on high are open, and the foundation of the earth to shake, and the earth is utterly broken down, the earth is clean dissolved, the earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage, like a small house in a great wind, and the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are high and the kings of the earth upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners are gathered into the pit. So you go into your tunnel, you go into your bunker, and you become a prisoner because you can never get out. It's sealed. It's a grave. All right. And shall be shut up in the prison, and after many days shall they be visited. What's that mean? In other words, they die. After many days, they die, and now they got their visitation. All right? They've gone to the sixth dimension, whatever. After many days, they shall have their visitation, which is death. Then the moon shall be confounded, blushing red, and the sun ashamed, dark like sackcloth, when the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion and Jerusalem and before his ancients gloriously. So we see that the trillions of dollars of preparation that the elites have been making, stealing funds from the tax coffers all over the world to create their interconnected underground bunker cities are doing so in vain. These underground cities will become their prisons, and finally they will become their graves. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. Let's just pray. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word, for your prophets, Lord, They have told us these things, and now we see them coming to pass. It is just a matter of time. But we will be taken before one bomb strikes this country. We will be in the arms of Christ. We don't need a tunnel. We don't need a bunker. We just need you in this word that you gave us to get us ready to go home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.